Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is Robert. I live here in Fort Wayne. Thank you for coming this day. It's a joy to be with you here today, and I pray that as God is lifted up, you will see right through me and see the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm here to point you up to God, that you might know God, that you might encounter him, and I so appreciate that about Grace Gathering. That's all about an encounter and experience with Jesus Christ. And the word says this, that a person is a fool, Jesus said, to store up earthly wealth and not have a rich relationship with Jesus even more. Your smart device, how often you're in contact with that all through the day. Are you in contact with Jesus even more than that? Is your faith merely passive, or is it passionate that you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? For the word also says that you must worship no other gods, but only the Lord. For he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. Isn't that humbling? God's heart beats for you. Does your heart beat for him? Do you know him? Because if you get this relationship in order, then we have a chance to get these relationships in order with one another, to live a life of no regrets, but only comes to the cross of Jesus Christ. And where I begin every morning, literally on my knees, because I can't help it. I need to. I say, Lord, I need your grace, your strength, to live this life of no regrets. And so very simply, that's where we invite you today, is to the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to share his word with you because my words can't change a life, but God's word can. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Lamentations chapter 3. Have you been there? Do you know what that feels like? Maybe there right now. What do you do? Thank God for his word. Yet, I still dare to hope. Dare to hope. And that is countercultural. That's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense when all hope seems to be lost. But I pray God's word and part of my testimony today will help instill that hope within your heart. And so this is where my story begins, with my parents, married in 1952. And by the grace of God, they lived a no-regrets marriage for over 60 years. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, as youngest of 8 children. Growing up together, all 10 of us would fill up a whole pew. And I called God Lord many, many times, but I hadn't yet made him Lord. It's a big difference. One thing to call him Lord, another thing to make him Lord. As a teenager, I started asking all these questions. God, are you real? Are you there? What does all this mean? And it brought me on a journey that brought me ultimately to my knees and a point of complete surrender with reckless abandonment. I said, Lord, I think I finally get it. You want my heart. You want all of me. Lord, I want all of you. Come take me over. I give you my life. It changed my life completely. In fact, I fell in love. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with his word. I got my first Bible and I started reading it every day. And I encourage each of you, read this book every single day. Don't just try. Just try to eat, but don't feed your body and starve your soul. In fact, as a wise man challenged me, he said, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Can we try that together, please? No Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. That means first thing, even before you feed your body, read the word of God. Feast on it. At the end of the day, read some more scripture. Embrace your day with the good news of Jesus Christ. After all, this is scriptural. Very first chapter of Joshua, meditate on it day and night. The very first psalm, study it day and night. No Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. You'll never regret it. And so I grew up there in Cincinnati. I studied piano as a youngster at the Conservatory of Music. I went on to study here in Indiana, down in Anderson, for a few years in college. And while I do like to play the piano, I also do like to eat. And so I transferred back to Cincinnati to study electrical engineering. Well, part of my curriculum brought me all the way to Boston, Massachusetts as a co-op student, where I was helping to design computer chips during the day at a high-tech company. Well, on evenings and weekends, I got a job in downtown Boston playing the piano at a sidewalk cafe. Back when I thought having that mullet would be really cool. Now, not so much. I pray they never come back. But thankfully, it didn't scare away a pretty girl from Northeast Kansas named Melissa. And she plopped down on that piano bench next to me. That never happened to me. I'm a shy introvert. I was a geeky, nerdy engineer, and I didn't date a whole lot. I was shaking in my boots just trying to keep my fingers on the right notes. But suddenly, we just started talking. The words just started flowing. We started laughing together. She kept on laughing, probably because she kept on looking at my hair. But, you know, it had to be a divine appointment. How else could you get a city slicker from Cincinnati, a country girl from Kansas, in the middle of downtown Boston? That would be God. And our Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek him first. He'll give you everything that you need, right? That's why no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. course, it didn't hurt that Melissa reached into her purse, pulled out a $5 bill, put in a tip cup you see right there. Ever since then, she said, boy, that's the best $5 I ever spent. And so we quickly fell in love over an ice cream sundae. I thought, boy, I better marry this girl. So on a romantic riverboat cruise back in Cincinnati on New Year's Eve, I popped the question. She said yes right there with the ring on her finger. And 1 year later, we married in Cincinnati. And she said, I do, even though I still had that mullet. After 7 long years of college, I finally graduated with 1 degree, 1 job offer from California. And it was during a recession, so we took it, packed up our bags, and moved west and started our lives together. We always wanted a big family, and God blessed us with many children. Although none ever came easily, our first we named McKenna. She was over 2 weeks late, took over 2 long days of tough labor and delivery to get here, followed by a C-section, because she was 9 pounds, 11 ounces, 22 inches long, and upside down. After all that, somehow, Melissa still said, it's okay, she's worth it. And yes, indeed, she is. When she was about a year old, I had to rush Melissa to the hospital. We had no idea what was happening. She nearly died. She was admitted for emergency surgery and transfusion due to an ectopic rupture where her organs exploded inside and a baby exploded. And it tested our faith to the core. And suddenly, where do you run at a time like that? We said, Lord, there is still hope because we want a big family. It's going to be twice as difficult now to have a big family. But we trusted in God, and within about half a year, we found out we were expecting again, thank God. After 5 years of California, we wanted to move back to the Midwest. We moved to Kansas City. We bought our very first home. And a few months later, we gave birth to our very first boy named Zachary. An 8-pound whopper born completely naturally, no complications. Man, we were thrilled. Till the next day when the doctors came and said, we believe your son has Down syndrome. And bam, boy, that was like a baseball bat to my gut. There I was, buckled to my knees, saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this. How do we raise a child with special needs? How do we deal with this autism and colostomy bag and cleft palate and everything else? But we learned a lot of great things. We also learned, don't ever feed your boy an entire bucket of blueberries. Or he may say to you too, Mom and Dad, do I ever have a diaper for you? I know because I changed that one. I'll never forget it. A couple years later, we gave birth to another little big guy, another 9-pound whopper, another day and a half of tough labor and delivery, another C-section, and another miracle. We named him Nicholas. And then after our 10th wedding anniversary, Melissa said, we're going to have another baby, and we were thrilled to have number 4 on the way. Then 2 weeks later, we miscarried again. And boy, it's devastating when it's part of your heart, part of your flesh, part of you. Perhaps a lot of you know what that feels like, to lose a child before birth. A full-grown child, a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a loved one, maybe your health, maybe through that cancer diagnosis. Maybe you've lost your whole family through the living death of divorce, how your heart must bleed every day. Can I just encourage you that there is hope? God is still God. We are surrounded by Him. And we were catching that faith and growing our faith. And we just threw up our hands and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? We surrender. We want a big family, but why is it so difficult? And so we just followed an unction in our hearts, adopt, adopt. We just went for it to an innocent informational meeting at an agency there in Kansas City. And with these tears rolling down our cheeks, we knew this is for us. Long story short, 11 months later, we're on a 747 airplane flying from San Francisco, California, all the way to Beijing, China, because I heard about a little orphan girl that nobody else wanted because she wasn't perfect due to a heart defect. She was special needs. We thought, well, we have a special needs boy. Let's go get a special needs girl. She's perfect for us. So I'll never forget coming back to the Kansas City airport and crossing that jetway to greet the rest of our family and holding in our arms this beautiful bundle of joy. We thought, oh, how can nobody want her? She is perfect. She's beautiful. She's even spicy. And yet there's at least 143 million orphans on this planet right now. It's up to us as a body of Christ to help care for them. We thought, well, we got to start with just one. So right away, she was this part of our family, one of the gang. Of course, we can never quite make all 4 smile at once. You know how it can be. You get out the cookies, the toys, you sing a song. It doesn't always work, right? Life is not perfect, but life is precious. Life is sacred. I implore each of you parents and grandparents, especially, to love your children with all you've got. Don't let a day go by without letting them know how much you love them. You'll never regret it. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, right? Life confounds us. It doesn't make sense, but we don't give up and quit because there is hope. Others make us suffer, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Well, thank God we were learning these tough life lessons, because in 2003, my life changed forever.
Floods in Kansas Saturday night. Four young children were killed in one car.
The rising waters trapped the family's minivan against a highway barrier until it broke, plunging the vehicle into a creek three stories below.
Robert Rogers, who 2 weeks ago lost his wife and all four of his small children in a raging flash flood across Kansas Highway.
Have you asked yourself again and again, why was I left here? Why was I spared?
Well, I believe it was nothing short of a miracle. God is not a taker of life. God loved the world so much that he gave. I believe he chose to spare me so that I might be a beacon of hope, a banner for families, so that we might reach others through this experience and help them to cherish their children and families.
Hug and kiss them every day, every morning and every evening. Tell them over and over how much you love them. Snuggle with them at bedtime. Place your hand on their heads and bless them every day as I did.
No hug is unimportant. A very moving soliloquy yesterday from a father who has lost so much.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because Jesus lives. Do you believe that? And really deep down here, not just words of a beautiful hymn, but truly the essence of our faith. That even if your whole world is washed away, you still have a life worth living because it's built on the rock of Jesus Christ. I could not possibly stand uprightly before you right now if it weren't for my faith. Now, my faith didn't just evaporate or take away the pain. It still hurts. I still cry. I still grieve. But I still trust God, and I still have hope. My faith that was with me that night when all six of us were washed off the freeway and plunged into this deluge. Somehow I was washed ashore. They took me by ambulance to a nearby hospital. In the middle of the night, an officer and a chaplain came to the room and said, "Robert, we found your minivan. It was upside down, a mile and a half from the freeway." They said, "Three of your young children were still in their car seats, and they are dead. And we need to ask you to identify their bodies." What do you do at a time like that? Where do you run? What holds you up? There's thousands of ways to be hurt. There's only one way to be healed. That's through Jesus Christ. I could not be here without him. At that moment, all my blood went to my toes. I felt numb. I couldn't even cry at first. But it led me down this long hallway to the ER and turned left and pulled back the drape. And there before me was Zachary, just 5 years old. Nicholas, 3 years old. Alina, our little sweet pea from China. And suddenly the floodgates of my tears just burst forth, and I collapsed over each of their bodies and stroked their wet hair. And with one hand on each of their chests, I raised my other up to heaven. I said, "Lord, into your hands I commend their spirits." The very words of Jesus on a cross, exemplifying a lifetime of surrender, and so must we. It's the hardest thing to do, is to surrender, right? Yourself, your loved ones. A few hours later, they came to her room and said, "We found McKenna. She had apparently caught on a barbed wire fence a short distance from her van. And for days we prayed and hoped they would find Melissa. On the third day, they finally found her in this retention pond that had tripled in size, 2 miles from the freeway, and I had to identify my wife of over 11 years. Be joyful in hope, the word says, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Be joyful. It doesn't mean a fake facade or a happy, clappy kind of joy, but it comes from the strength of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Knowing that he can somehow cause it all together to work for good and not for evil. And he did right away. People whose lives were changed when they saw or heard the news. And somehow in the wreckage of a minivan, they uncovered our camera we'd used that night at the wedding and the reception. You can see the candles behind us. It's a miracle they've even found our camera. Another miracle, they were able to develop the roll of film in the camera. But the biggest miracle of all is that all four of our children are actually looking at the camera at once and smiling. That virtually never happens, right? I have that picture on a beautiful blue bookmark. I'd love to give to each one of you afterwards, just so you can see a miracle and perhaps share it with someone who needs some hope. God just says, trust me. Trust me in your times of trouble. And I'll do two things. I love this. He says, number one, I will rescue you. I will. Some way, somehow, I'll rescue you. There's hope. He rescued my family that night. They got to go to heaven. Boy, I wish I was with him. It felt like we were all going. I was tumbling in the water. I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe. I was ingesting the floodwaters and drowning. Who's more blessed? Better is one night in his courts than 1,000 anywhere else. But somehow I was washed ashore. I don't know how. But by the grace of God, here we are in Fort Wayne, Indiana together this beautiful Sunday morning in January 2018. I can't explain it. But God is God and I am not. Either we trust him or we don't. I will rescue you. Now, it may not be your way, it may not be your timing, but it'll be God's way, it'll be good. That's number one. Number two, he says, and you will give me glory. What? Wait a minute, Lord, you sure you put the right word here? This is my life we're talking about, Lord. I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. But you know, out of your mess, God can bring forth a message. Out of your story, God can bring great glory. It all depends how we respond. A wise man told me, Robert, out of every great test can come a great testimony. And that's what I did my best to do, was just respond in faith and to answer the call of people who started asking me to come and to share my testimony. I'd never done this before. I never asked for this. I'm the shy introvert. This is my least comfortable spot behind a microphone in front of people. But God often uses our weakness to display his strength. I started traveling around the world and ministering to orphans there in India after the tsunami when many people lost their loved ones in turbulent waters. I've also been to Haiti. I've been to Russia. And if I can offer one word that's helped me to heal the most these past 14 years now, it's just one word, serve. Serve. Sounds a bit backwards, doesn't it? When I'm in pain, boy, I need others to pour into me. What I found is you empty your life and pour into others, God's going to fill you up. It's in giving that you receive. You're going to reap what you sow. I also found that as you look into the eyes of those you serve and you see their heart, it'll help change your heart and heal and transform your heart. Through my passion for these orphans, I began a foundation I call the Mighty in the Land Foundation, with a big vision to sponsor begin at least 5 orphanages worldwide and honor my 5 Heavenly Family members. And one by one, God's been bringing that to pass. In 2006, we dedicated the first one in Russia. We called it the Melissa Home. Led Rwanda, the McKenna Home. In India, the Zachary Village. In Uganda, the Nicholas Home. In downtown Beijing, China, Alina's Home. Back in Uganda, Hope Village. And in Haiti, Joy Village. Just last year in Kingston, Jamaica, the Bethlehem Home. And since we began this foundation, we've given or granted over $477,000 to help care for orphans and special needs children around the world. Now, I can understand a lot of numbers, but I cannot understand that number. It's way over my head. Nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with God. There is hope out of your circumstance. Take your broken pieces, give them to God, and say, Lord, I just have a broken heart. It's not much, but take it. And watch how he'll bless it and make it more than what it is and do above and beyond what you could imagine. Oh, God is so good. He's so rich. I'm so honored to be a part of their lives. I've also been very honored to have partnered with Focus on the Family as I literally scraped out the walls of my heart and put them on the pages of this book called Into the Deep, One man's story of how tragedy took his family but could not take his faith. These are available to you if you need them. They're available to anybody for anything. Okay, if you can't afford it, you can go ahead and take it. I realize it's the middle of January, but Merry Christmas. Okay, I mean that sincerely, and the guys at the table know that. So if you need one, just take what you need. There's also a Spanish version available if that's helpful to anyone. After my family died, into the cameras, I said, I have no regrets. Not because we lived a perfect life, but we lived a purposeful life. And that day they died, I'd hugged them all. I told them I loved them. Our hearts were clear, thank God. And so people said, Robert, how'd you do it? And I just prompted me to put down words in another book called 7 Steps to No Regrets. Just 7 key principles of living a life of no regrets with God and with one another. If you need these, they're available as well. They're full of scripture, and that's really what will change a life. And then as well, because people kept asking me. Now, I'm a slow reader. I'm an even slower writer. So each one of these is a big labor of love for me. But people said, Robert, how did you do it? How did you get through it? And so I wrote a book called Rise Above, How to Heal the Hurts and Overcome the Worst. Because when you're the one going through that valley, it's the worst, right? This is full of over 100 scriptures and just steps that have helped me to get through it. Take whatever you need or give whatever you feel led. There's a video of our family story and a few musical CDs as well, if that's helpful to you. And I do this full time. I mean, why? Really, why come here this morning and share this excruciating story even one more time? I have degrees in engineering and business. I could just have a lucrative, high-paying, high-tech job. But I came here because Chris invited me. And these past 14 years, over 1,100 places or people have invited me. I've just said, yes, I'll come. I open my heart to share it with you that God might draw your heart unto him. I'm passionate for knowing God. I want you to be passionate for him. I'm passionate for families to help turn parents and children back to one another by challenging us all to live this life of no regrets starting today. And I could use your help, please. If this testimony has impacted your heart, could you just spread the word? That's how I happen to be here today, that others might encounter Christ. You can connect with me online or just grab one of these brochures and just pass it along, that other people would see Jesus through our family story. That's my heart. That's number one. But number two, most importantly, pray. Could you please pray for me? Many of you have already, and I thank you. We all need prayer, don't we? Could you pray just one time a month? What's your birthday? Just pray on that day every month, just 12 times a year is all I ask. There's a little sign-up sheet on the table if you want to just jot down your name and commit to pray. And take for free as my gift to you one of these green wristbands. It has my motto on it, to know God and live a life of no regrets. It's a reminder to you, but it's really a reminder to know God more every day and to live a life of no regrets. It's a reminder of no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Because there is hope. I will find rest in God alone. He is the one who gives me hope. He alone is my rock. He is the one who saves me. Thanks be to God. There is hope, because even when it's darkest, that's when light comes bursting in. For Lord, you've allowed me to suffer a lot of tough stuff. Can we probably all agree with that? Yes, Lord, you've allowed me to suffer a lot of hardship, but I love this. You will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. That's what the resurrection is all about. God's done it all through time. Remember Job? He had everything and then he lost everything. His health, his business, all 10 children. But when it was darkest for him, that's when light and hope came bursting in. And God restored him double of everything, including double the family. He had 10 children in heaven. God gave him 10 more children on this earth. 7 boys, 3 girls, much like before. In fact, the Bible says that from Job's experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good. Don't you love that? Don't you love a good book, a good story with a happy ending? I do. Well, God is a God of happy endings. Heaven, ultimately, right? But even the seasons and chapters of your life on this planet can have good endings if you trust him. If you have hope in him. Can I prove it to you? That'd be okay? Okay, look at this next picture. 11 years ago, here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a beautiful girl said to me, I do. Her name is Inga. She's not from Sweden. She's from Huntertown. And so now I'm a Hoosier. And thereafter, God blessed us with a beautiful son we named Ezekiel. And then God blessed us with a beautiful daughter we named Estella. After a very traumatic miscarriage, a little stillborn baby boy about 5 inches long, we held him. We had to bury him. But God blessed us again with a beautiful daughter, a beautiful son we named Leo. And then another time, God blessed us with a beautiful daughter we named Lola Elizabeth. Behold, the hand of Almighty God. Is anything impossible with God? Nothing's impossible with God. You see, 14 years ago, my beautiful wife and 2 mighty sons and 2 lovely daughters died in that flash flood in Kansas. Now somehow God has graced me with a beautiful wife and 2 mighty sons and 2 lovely daughters. How is that possible? But by the grace of Almighty God. Is it no wonder my knees hit the floor every morning? I assure you they do, because I don't deserve them. I'm nothing. I'm just dust and ashes. But because I know God through his son, Jesus Christ, he calls me son. Look how much he loves me. Look how much he loves you. He gave his only son that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, God is so good. He loves you more than you can imagine. There's nothing you can do to stop that love. I love my family beyond what words can express. And by the way, we can't get them to look at a camera once and smile either. Our children are ages 10, 9, 7, and 5. And we home educate them and just have a blast every single day together with one another. Well, let me wrap it up with one last image of God's amazing attention to detail in our lives. Because after my family died, I had to bury all 5 of them at once. There's hardly any words even to begin to describe that. But there at the cemetery in Kansas City after the burial, I had these balloons, and I felt compelled to release them up to heaven as an act of surrender. And one by one, they plucked out of my fingers. And it was beautiful and awful all at once. But we came back to my empty, hollow home. I lived there for nearly 3 years alone. It took a long time to go through all their belongings and everything. But we just happened to wander into the laundry room, my parents and siblings and I. And on the wall was this calendar my daughter McKenna had made as a school project a year before the flood. And it was in August, but now it was September. We flipped it up and our jaws hit the floor. Because there's McKenna going to heaven. She never did herself in any month, but only this one. She's holding balloons. I had just released balloons at the cemetery. She's holding 6 balloons. 6 people died that night of the flood. She's got a big smile on her face. Her feet are off the ground. There's a woman driving the bus. Melissa was driving her van that night when we hit the floodwaters. There's 2 boys and a girl still in their car seats. Our 2 sons and youngest daughter were still in their car seats when they found our van later that night. And if you notice, I'm nowhere in the picture. It's just the 5 of them. And off to the right is a stoplight. She colored red. As if that's the end. Well, if that's not enough, remember that last roll of film they miraculously uncovered from the wreckage of a minivan developed? They also came out with this picture, which snapped after the bride and groom had left. The reception, all the balloons in their car on the pavement. And of course, our kids were playing with them. And lo and behold, there's McKenna in virtually the same exact pose as she drew a year before. This had taken hours before they went to heaven. But look, her arms are up to heaven, balloons in each hand. She's got a big smile on her face. Her feet are off the ground. And do you see what's right behind her? There's a stoplight, just like in her picture. We put those 2 next to each other. And friends, this is no coincidence. This is a God incident. This is real. God is real. This book, it's real. It's not just a bunch of stories. You can live your life by it. In fact, it's one big love story between God and you. He wants your heart. Heaven is real and hell is real, and you will spend eternity in one of those 2 places. That's the main reason I'm here today, is to make sure we don't miss it, to make sure we don't hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But rather that we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who do you say that he is? I'd like to share one last song with you that's very near to my heart. One that I composed for my daughter McKenna from a father's heart. Because I had a lot of questions, you know. Lord, why? Why did I live and they died? I'm their protector, I'm their provider. But I was so comforted when I realized their last breath on earth was followed immediately by their first breath in heaven. You taught me what it's like to be a daddy. invincible in your eyes. You taught me what it's like to be the king of our castle and whisk my little princess away. But what was it like to break the bonds of death into life? And what was it like to breathe in your last breath and not die? What was it like to pierce the earthly veil to heaven? You teach me somehow what is heaven like. You taught me what it's like to be your hero. You taught me what it's like to kiss my princess goodnight. But when the rain came, couldn't save your life. McKenna, what was it like to break the bonds of death into life? And what was it like to breathe in your last breath and still not die? What was it like to pierce the earthly veil to heaven? Can you teach me somehow what is heaven like? Oh, and what is it like to walk through heaven's door? And what is it like to dance on like to save our heaven's ice cream? And what is it like to hold Jesus and just gaze in his eyes? Life can change in an instant. We just don't know, do we? I love the beautiful words they left on my phone just 2 weeks before the flood. Did you notice they never said goodbye? They just said, "Good night, Daddy." That's the truth. Because when we're in Christ, there is no goodbye. It's just good night. Yes, weeping endures for the night. We cry a lot of tears, but joy comes. Joy comes in the morning because God is faithful. He says, "I will be faithful to you, and you will finally know me as Lord." Do you know him as Lord?
today is a day of salvation. Surrender your heart, your will, your life to Him. Begin this life of no regrets.